Centennial Broadcasting presents Valley Feedback, a look at the people and issues making news in our community.
Welcome to the program. I'm Robert Allen. This week's guest is Sally Hurlburt with Shenandoah National Park. Welcome to the show, Sally. Thank you so much for your time.
Glad to be here.
Spring has arrived and the park is well into the process of facilities returning to operation from winter closure.
We begin in March and continue through May. Right now, the Skyland Lodge and the Lewis Mountain Cabins are open. The Big Meadows Campground and Lewis Mountain Campground are open. And all of our waysides are open. That's the restaurants that we have at Elk Wallow, Big Meadows, and Loft Mountain. And our two visitor centers are open full-time now. That's Dickey Ridge Visitor Center and Bird Visitor Center. The only two things that we're waiting to open until May would be Big Meadows Lodge and Loft Mountain Campground.
How popular is spring for the park?
Spring is one of our quieter seasons. Our busiest season, of course, is the fall and summer. So I'd say spring is the third most popular season. It can get kind of busy on the weekends, especially during spring break, but it can also be very quiet. It's a really nice time to get up and hike without a lot of other people on the trails.
What are some of the big draws this time of year?
Things are beginning to wake up, so animals are beginning to emerge, and flowers are beginning to emerge as well. May will be our big flower season. That's when we have our wildflower weekend in early May, on May 5th and 6th. But this is also the time of year where animals begin to wake up. You may start to see bears, and of course deer will be out, and all the little animals will be starting to run around.
Did the park fare pretty well during the winter?
We didn't have as much snow this year as we have in the past, but what we did have was a huge windstorm in early March, and that did a lot of damage to the park. We had over 100 trees knocked down on Skyline Drive, and in the backcountry on the trails, they've already cut over 1,500 trees to help clear the trails, and they're not done yet. We advise people, when you're in the backcountry hiking on the trails, some of the trails they haven't gotten to yet, so be extremely careful because there could be still leaning trees and dangling branches up in the trees that could still fall down.
National Park Week, which runs April 21st to 29th this year. What are some of the special events planned for that?
Well, the first day of National Park Week is a Saturday, April 21st, and it's going to be a fee-free day, so everybody gets into the park for free on that day. And the big event that day at both of our visitor centers is Junior Ranger Day. So there's going to be activities all day long for kids. Lots of fun things going on at both visitor centers. That's on the Saturday. Then on the Sunday, April 22nd, to celebrate Earth Day, we have a special Appalachian Trail hike. And then at the end of the week, on Sunday, April 29th, that's what we call the Park Prescription Day. That's where it's a day to get out and get physically active. Many doctors actually are prescribing getting up into national parks for recreation and sort of spiritual ways to help you with your mental health to get out in the park and hike. And so we'll have a special Stony Man hike on Sunday, April 29th.
Well, you mentioned that fee-free offer. Now, this year there's only four of those, and we do have more coming up. The September 22nd is National Public Lands Day, I believe, and then Veterans Day, November 11th.
Right.
I'm Robert Allen talking with Shenandoah National Park Sally Hurlburt. Well, the Shenandoah National Park Trust is being celebrated for 10 years of supporting the park. What does the trust do?
Well, the trust raises money through donations and special events that they put on, and then they turn over that money to the park to help support projects that we can't fund based on the amount of funding that we get every year. So they help do things like they help enhance our youth programs, they help us maintain our trails, they help us work with our exotic invasive species. They just give us that little extra money that helps us do things that we couldn't otherwise do. So we like to say it helps make a great park an outstanding park because of the extra things that they let us do. They've given us increasing amounts of money every year, and $800,000 was just one year alone, 2017. We really, really appreciate them and all that they do for us.
Well, are there any current park closures or alerts, anything like that to pass along?
No, nothing happening right now, but we always recommend that you check the weather before you come. What's the forecast? Because if we know that a big storm is coming, that could be a severe storm, we'll preemptively close Skyline Drive just to keep people safe. So the best way to find out about that is to check Facebook, call our phone line, which is 540-999-3500, option 8 will tell you what's going on with Skyline Drive.
You mentioned earlier that animals are becoming more active this time of year and that you might see some bears. Of course, deer are almost a definite when you're on Skyline Drive and other animals. Please share some advice for viewing wildlife safely.
What we want you to do is make sure you drive 35 miles an hour on Skyline Drive, because especially in the spring, there's lots of babies being born. So if the animal, whatever kind of animal it is trying to cross Skyline Drive with babies, they're going to be going a lot slower than normal. So we want to make sure that only going 35 miles an hour, you'll have time to see them up ahead and slow down and let them pass. The other thing is bears are waking up. They've been hibernating most of the winter, so their fat level is low. So they're really, it's important for them to start taking in calories to get their strength back up. So they're going to be really hungry, and they're going to be out and about. And so you just want to make sure when you see a bear on a trail that you stay more than 150 feet away from the bear. Just give it its space. That's kind of a personal safety zone around the bear. And if you're beyond that safety zone, it won't be too worried about you. It'll just continue eating. But if you're closer than that, then we want you to back away very slowly and carefully. Just walk back away from it. Don't turn around and run. Don't turn around and turn your back to the bear. You can continue to look at it, but just back off. It's not going to see that as a threat, and it'll just feel a lot more comfortable if you're moving away from it. And I think you'll feel more comfortable too.
Let's talk briefly about the emerald ash borer. I understand there's a research grant related to that.
Yeah, the research grant is going to be looking at what's going to happen when all these ash trees die. The unfortunate thing is that this borer is very intensive, and it's killing our trees like right and left. We're able to treat some of them that we can get to, but there's going to be a lot of trees that we can't get to that this non-native invasive insect is going to kill. So this research grant is going to be looking at the potential impacts of all those dead trees in the park.
Spring can be a busy time for wildfires. What should visitors keep in mind regarding fire safety?
The main thing is that we don't ever allow fires built outside of park fire rings. So we have lots of fire rings in the park, in the campgrounds, in our shelters, in our huts, in our cabins. But you're not allowed, if you're camping in the backcountry or hiking in the backcountry, to build your own campfire, because that's caused a lot of our wildfires to get out of control, people who haven't properly put out their campfires. So you're only allowed to have campfires in those park-built rings. And even still, you just want to be careful. Don't build a fire if it's windy, because the sparks can fly off into the woods and catch the leaves on fire. Springtime is our busiest fire season. Fall and spring each have fire seasons, but usually the spring is the more dangerous fire season. And so far, we're doing pretty good this year. We've had a lot of moisture, so we're not as bad as we were a few years ago in April when we had our second biggest fire ever in the park. We had a lot of real dry weather that year. So far, so good, but you still need to always be diligent with your fires. Whether you're in the park or if you live outside the park, around the park, and you're burning your brush, just be really careful to not do it on a windy day.
What are the current entry fees to visit Shenandoah National Park?
The current fees are for cars. It's $25 per car. Motorcycles, $20. The per person fee is $10, and our annual pass is $50.
Now, the National Park Service, there was talk of some fees drastically increases up to $70 for that 7-day vehicle pass at some of the popular parks. Now, that had public comment back in the fall. Understand that that's not going to be the case. It's going to be a smaller fee increase.
That's right. They decided that rather than raising the fees at 17 parks, they're going to raise the fees at all the parks that charge an entrance fee. And that happens to be 117 parks. So each park's fee is going to go up from 10 to 15% from what it was. So for Shenandoah, that means that now the per vehicle fee is going to be $30 instead of $25. The motorcycle fee will be $25, and the per person fee will be $15, and now the annual pass will be $55.
When does that begin?
It's going to start on June 1st this year.
And again, there was talk about going all the way up to $70, so now we're looking at basically a $5 increase all the parks that charge a fee.
That's exactly right. They just decided to distribute it out amongst the whole park service where entrance fees are charged rather than the 17 most visited parks.
And where is this money going to go? Why is this fee increase happening?
For parks that bring in more than $500,000 a year, 80% of the fees stay in their park. And then 20% goes out and helps the parks that don't charge an entrance fee. For those parks that bring in less than $500,000 a year, then they get to keep 100% of their entrance fees. And so these fees are used for visitor services. 55% of the fees have to be used for deferred maintenance projects, and then the other 45% can be used on anything that enhances the visitor experience while they're in the park.
Well, you mentioned it earlier, but I want to give another chance to repeat ways people can stay up to date with Shenandoah National Park.
Well, the best way to find out is either go to our website, which is www.nps.gov/SHEN, or we also have a Facebook page, a Twitter page, Instagram, and YouTube. Those are all the ways that we are reaching out to the public with our activities and our events that are going on.
As you mentioned, spring not quite as busy. Of course, summer visitation will pick up with the kids out of school, so now's a good time to come out and enjoy nature and beat the crowds.
It's a great time of year. Yeah, we totally encourage people to come out in the spring as well as the rest of the year.
Well, Sally Hurlburt with Shenandoah National Park, thank you so much for being on the show. I appreciate it.
Thank you, and please come and visit us.
You've been listening to Valley Feedback. We encourage your comments on today's program. Valley Feedback is a public affairs presentation of Centennial Broadcasting.